also upadruta disturbed bhavan yourself shakhe my friend na eva not certainly apare the other ete all these shanghata ina co-workers iti thus bahu very much vipralabdha sarcastically criticized api although avidyaya by nations rachita manufactured dravya guna karma vishaya in a combination of material elements material qualities and the result of past activities and desires swa cha parama kalevare in the body which is moved by the subtle elements mind intelligence and ego avastuni in such physical things samstana visheshe having a particular disposition aham mama I and mine iti in this way anadhyaropita not interposed mithya false prapattaya belief brahmabhuta who are self-realized standing on the brahman platform tushinam being silent sivikam the palanquin purva vat as before uvaha carried so long translation and purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai king rahuguna told jaraparat how troublesome this is my dear brother you certainly appear very fatigued because you have carried this palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance besides this that due to your old age you have become greatly troubled my dear friend I see that you are not very firm nor very strong and stout and your fellow carries cooperating with you in this way the king criticized Jarabharat with sarcastic words yet despite being criticized in this way Jarabharat had not bodily conception of the situation he knew that he was not the body for he had attained his spiritual identity he was neither fat lean nor thin nor had he anything to do with a lump of matter combination of the five gross and three subtle elements he had nothing to do with the material body and its two hands and legs in other words he had completely realized his spiritual identity aham brahmasmi he was therefore unaffected by this sarcastic criticism from the king without saying anything he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Purport. Jarabharat was completely liberated. He did not even care when the dacoits attempted to kill his body. He knew that he certainly was not the body. Even if the body were killed, he would not have cared for. He was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in Bhagavad Gita 2:20 na hanyate hanyamane sharire he knew that he could not be killed even if his body were killed although he did not protest the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore, he was saved by the mercy of Krishna, and the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very strong and stout in sound and condition and quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from the bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to one's karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. The Vedic injunction is asango hi ayam purusha. The spirit soul is always unaffected by the material arrangements. Hare Krishna. This is actually the platform of great devotees. They exhibit such qualities of these characters of great devotee. They are symptoms of devotees that they are not disturbed by anything material around them because their absorption in Krishna. Yeah. So, Jara Bharat is exhibiting these qualities. One thing we should know that we cannot judge a devotee because we don't know. It's one of the things we don't know, how who is who that going around. You know, sometimes devotees can be just simple. They're not exhibiting these qualities, but they're maybe going around and acting in a very simple way. But so therefore we have to be very careful not to offend anyone and respect everyone properly, especially devotees in the temple area. And Jara Bharat certainly in showing such characters of qualities of, you know, not speaking much, being quiet, but he's observing Krishna within. And you see that sometime in our temple, in a temple situation, in our temple grounds, and out all the devotees are mixing together. You see such devotees. And some are exhibiting these qualities. They are quiet, and some are very active, very talkative. Everybody is having different characters of a devotee. Krishna is full of qualities, and devotees carry these qualities in many ways. So we have to understand this amongst ourselves. So sometimes in the association of devotees, we see different types of devotees. Saying that, oh, he's pagal hai, he's crazy, this guy. No, actually not, because they are exhibiting such characters. So we have to be very mindful. Someone is very serious, someone is very sober, someone is very patient. These are all the qualities of Krishna, and devotees carry these qualities. So Jara Bharat, especially here, he's acting like a dumb, quiet man, but he's very learned. When he started to speak, King Raghuna was amazed. So they say, you cannot judge a person unless they speak. When he starts to speak, then we know who they are, what type of person he is. Pagal ki na bole, chagal ki na khai. They're just saying, pagal man, and like a crazy man, he will say anything. A goat will eat anything. You know that? They're just saying, this is a saying in Bengali. Pagal ki na bole, chagal ki na khai. A goat will eat anything. And he will not eat. And a crazy person will say anything. So once we speak, speak something, then we know what the person he is like, what type of things he says, what, you know. So similarly, Jarabharat, he was acting like a very, like a pagal, like a crazy man, but he is a great devotee. And Rahugana, King Rahugana found that out when he started to speak. He's speaking very high philosophy. And he got down, actually, later on it was explained. So, these dacoits, Prabhupada explained, you know, in India we call dacoits, like they wanted to hurt him. But he was not disturbed. He was not disturbed. This is the prime symptom of a devotee. Sometimes we see that ourselves, dealing with each other. You know, I've seen even here, people, they get mad at each other and hurting each other and saying stuff. This is the quality of mortal passion. When mortal passion comes, we forget what we are. What we forget intelligently how to think. Even myself, someone says something, I get very upset. And not only that, whole day I'm thinking, oh, this person said this to me. My mind is so disturbed. This is not quality of a devotee. Devotees always think, because I'm not a devotee. But I'm, so this is why when you read the Bhagavatam, read these stories, these are exemplify how we can attain the platform of a good devotee, of a Vaishnava. And that's why Jarabharat, he's been exemplified in the Bhagavatam and greatly glorified for his actions. So all of us, the devotees in our Hare Krishna movement, we are creating a history, actually. Somebody's writing down these books. So we are creating a history for ourselves to become an example for the society, future society, for the people of, in general. So Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and Srila Prabhupada, he had all these qualities. And you can ask anyone who's personally served Srila Prabhupada, he was very quiet at times. And others just talking. Prabhupada was very silent. He was looking at the deity. He is very observant in Krishna. Tears in his eyes. Voice choked up. He was showing the symptom of a great Vaishnava, great devotee. But he was very controlled also. Because he didn't want to exhibit too much. Others may not understand and take him very cheaply. But Prabhupada had all the qualities of a great devotee. So this is why I also, when I'm in the temple area, not outside, and I see every one of you, I'm very careful. Like, who is who? You know, everyone here, you are very special. You know, if you are not special, you wouldn't come to the temple. You have love for Krishna. You understand. This way, even the guests, when they come, they have some attraction for Krishna. That's why they chose to come here. And this way, our devotees, we greatly respect them. So even, I remember in Vrindavan, when there was some people that came in the temple and they're rolling in the ground, showing the spiritual symptom. And sometimes they do that in India. People, they want to show that they are such great devotees. But that's natural. Maybe they are. But we don't know. We don't know. We have to still respect. So this is the early days when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, he didn't know what was going on. So the devotees saw this, so they came to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, this person was lying on the ground, rolling in the ground and crying and like this. And so Prabhupada said, give him a good kick in the rib. And then you will know if he's actually showing the symptom and he's still crying for Krishna or not. He will react. So when Prabhupada was there, we could do that. We shouldn't take that into our own hand, start kicking people. You know? And because Prabhupada was there, he could deal with the situation. And the devotee was just following his words, his instructions. So they came and kicked him, and he got up, and he ran away. Then Prabhupada said, see, he is not pure devotee. He is just showing. Because when somebody is very pure and Krishna conscious, you can hurt them. They are still not affected by it. They will still roll on the ground with tears in his eyes. So, we shouldn't take things into our own hand. At the same time, I always believe that the devotees in our temple are very special, including animals. You know,
and fish and birds, and you know, they're all very special. Devotees are full of good qualities. Trinara Pisuni Chena Tarara Pishta Hishnuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that devotees are humbler than a tree, like a blade of grass. Yesterday we were talking about this, Anirudha Prabhu, we were talking about, you know, how a devotee reacts. We shouldn't be too angry. It flares up. One person has to be cool-headed. If I am angry at Arjuna Sakha, he is angry at me, then there's fire in the middle. There's no cool-headedness. So one person has to be cool, another one. So those who are king, they're passionate. Yesterday they were talking about this. They're passionate. They need that. Like if you are an authority, a temple president in Mayapur, you've got to be very tough. You're dealing with the Bengalis. Yeah, you know that, right, Ganga? I mean, I was only a small boy. I left that place. I remember how tough to manage that place. Bhavananda was manager there. They liked him. He was like strong, like a king. He got things done. But if you're going around and you're weak, they don't appreciate. They want tough. Bhavananda used to go around with a stick in his hand, cane. And he saw anybody, he got things done. So kings, they have to be strong. If you're weak, there are people who want to goof off and take advantage of that, isn't it? So, at the same time, kings are tough. They're Raja Rishi, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. They're tough, at the same time, very soft. They have time for everything. You see, we have our society, especially in our Hare Krishna movement, is gone. We have leaders. We have GBC, we have temple presidents, we have vice president, we have temple commander, like we have managers. This is a system. There has to be a system to manage the organization, the society. It's not that we are in Satya Yuga. People are not going to follow if there is no leadership. Leadership has to be tough. I believe in that very strongly. So if our leaders are weak, then people are going to take advantage of that. And not act accordingly. So Jarabharat, he was a king, but he gave up that kingdom. He went to the forest. Well, like we were discussing this before, earlier on, and how he felt attraction for the deer. The same problem. He got attracted. You know, he left all that and he became attracted to deer in the forest. So wherever you go, we are faced with a situation and we are being challenged. How we are going to control ourselves. So sense control is also necessary. But Jarabharat's situation is very unique because, you know, Krishna is using him as an example in the Bhagavatam. He became a deer in his next life. But because of his sincere Krishna consciousness, his intention was to become Krishna conscious. And naturally, devotees are very compassionate and soft. So if you see a deer, and a helpless deer, you want to protect him. It's natural. But at the same time, he became overly attached. We can be attached, but we should not be overly attached. Some say, oh, you're my best friend. I love you so much. We don't say like that. You are, but I would say in the bracket after Krishna and Guru. Isn't it? Like I saw on the Facebook, one of our Harinam girls was saying, you are my best friend. I cannot live without you. Come on. You know, I haven't seen my mother. I was not with her whole life. They say in Bengal, mother, oh, mata, you're everything to us. They fall at her feet. It's good. But when I left the family, like my parents, I joined the Hare Krishna at the age of 6. I was still attached to my mother, but she was not around. She was in Brahmacharya Ashram. And I was in Gurukul. I said, it's Maya to see a Mataji. Yeah, man, come on, it's my mother. So I was I was trained up that way. But I didn't leave. I felt pre-comfort being around the devotees, even without my own parents. Because the devotees, where they are together, they can create that comfortness, that spiritual happiness that the devotees want. And we feel completely satisfied in their association and sadhu sangha. That's what it means, sadhu sangha. We create association is so pacifying and very peaceful and relaxing that you want to be in that association all the time. So, we should not be too attached. But we should be attached to devotees. We should be attached to Guru Maharaj. We should be attached to Krishna. We should be attached to Chaitanya Hare Krishna. With Saha Nishayadayat, Rupa Goswami said, with enthusiasm, chanting and dancing. There are certain things you should be attached to, fully attached to. Because some people say you have to balance it. What balance? You need to be attached to Krishna completely, 100%. You can balance your health. Eat less, sleep less, work for Krishna more. That way. But not when it comes to devotional services balanced with material things. 100% serving Krishna, less material things. That's how you balance it. So in the case of Jara Bharat, he became attached to the deer too much. Instead of thinking Krishna, he was thinking of deer, oh deer, oh deer. So at the time of death, he was thinking of deer. Krishna says, Mamana, think of me at the time of death. So if you're thinking of material things, you're not going to be able to think Krishna at the time of death. Like we're in the car and suddenly there's an accident. Everybody says different things. But they're not singing Krishna. It's supposed to say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Someone may be saying, others are saying other things. So for us, everything we are doing is a test for us. Are we becoming Krishna conscious? Are we keeping the company, associating with people that are going to make us Krishna conscious? Don't talk too much if not necessary. Talk about Krishna. I tell this to myself. You know, in fact, when you talk so much, you get a sore throat. You know, you're losing out your air, your breath. You talk so much. You see people, we're going to Harinam, you see people sitting in a pub. Hours and hours. What they're talking about? We come back after 1 or 2 hours, they're still sitting there, talking nonsense. Yeah, beer. You know. So, we need to train ourselves. Arjuna said to Krishna, it is so difficult to control the mind. And then Krishna says, of course it is difficult. But abhyasa yoga yuktena. He said, practice and detachment. Yuktena, engage yourself in serving Krishna. Detachment. We are attached, too much attached to material things. Even after I became a devotee, before I had nothing. You know, before I became a devotee, I was living a simple life, in village life, which is actually good. That's the best. After becoming a devotee, I have too many friends, too many wealth, you know, this and that. It's just too much. The Maya as a devotee, that somehow we forget what we are here for. What is the reason we're here for? Along the line, we forget these things. Why am I here? We become attached to Maharajis. We become attached to Krishna conscious things, but along the line, it becomes material. So that's why you have to be very careful. Check yourself. There's a line for everything. So, that's why Jara Bharat was a very, very intelligent, great devotee of Krishna. So he wanted to make sure, even as a deer, he's going to make sure he become Krishna conscious. Jara Bharat was going as a deer where the sadhus eat, and they was eating the remnants and associating with sadhus like that. So we don't know. I saw one day here, we have the fountain. In Mayapur they have fountain, right? Here is a small fountain, so beautiful. Sometimes people come from outside and they say, we just like to sit around the fountain, it's so peaceful and very relaxing. And you see there's fish in there. And sometimes the kids, they're poking, they don't poke the fish. Stuff like that. And during the beginning of lockdown last year, and there was nobody around, just like now, it was like totally deserted around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I saw one bird come and eat the fish. And I gave it chase. And 3 fish came out of the mouth. It vomited out. They're still alive. So I picked them up, put it back in the pond. So I'm just saying this, that, you know, people come for a different reason to the temple. Some just come to eat fish in the pond. Or maybe they come here to, I don't know what, get their needs in life. Or pick up some girls. Who knows? I'm just saying. No offense. But there are reasons why people come. Our main reason we are here, we have to remember, we are here to please Krishna. Because we are suffering in the material world, we came to take shelter of Radha Krishna, to go back to Godhead. I always tell this to myself, knock, knock, knock. You know, why am I here? You know, I'm getting myself very nicely situated. Then I forget. Actually, that's not the reason I'm here for. I'm here to go back to Godhead. I'm sitting here in the temple, I'm thinking, I want to sit here, chant Hare Krishna, nothing's going to bother me. Not the mind, not someone, not my phone, anybody. And then before that, before I know it, I'm falling asleep. And I have to get up. I see other devotees so nicely chanting. That's why Sadhu Sangha is important. We're being checked. We don't go to the forest. Jarabharata is different. Because those days, that's a different time. Now you go to the forest, there's no forest left. And somebody's coming with the airplane, you know, hang glider, so many things. You know, having a picnic. There's no. So, we go where we can be Krishna conscious. Middle of the city, where people are, like it says here, ignorant nations. People are ignorant. Prabhupada left this Vrindavan, and he brought Vrindavan with him to the people where they needed the most ignorant people, New York City. And he was criticized for that. We were talking about this yesterday with Aniruddha, and we were all discussing, you know, how Prabhupada was criticized for bringing the white people to India and giving them brahmanas, how they're qualified. Actually, by the mercy of guru, one becomes qualified. Of course, he's a bona fide guru. You go to India, I come here, I'm a guru. Every corner there's a guru. You know, guru is one who in the sampradaya. So if you go away from sampradaya, make your own sampradaya, you're stepping out of line. He's stepping out of line. You see in India or somewhere all over the world, sometimes they have an accident. Train, big crash. They go off the track. So we say this in English. You're off the track. He left association. He left Prabhupada's shelter. He left association of devotees. As Prabhupada used to say, bloop. He throw a rock in the river. He go, bloop, bloop, bloop. That's called blooped. Don't be like it like that. Keep Sadhu Sangha firm. It says mentioned here, firm. Firm association. Hold on to the feet of Krishna. Hold on to the feet of the devotees. Of course, the devotees are not going to allow you to touch their feet. What I mean to say, hold on to the shelter of the holy name. And people saying, oh, lockdown, you know, I can't go to the temple. I mean, even when the temple is open, we're not always here. Only a little bit in the morning and do our service. The rest of the day we are somewhere else. So we have to create a situation that you're going to be Krishna conscious wherever you are. Krishna consciousness, temple is there to give us that boost. Rest of the day, we have to carry that Krishna consciousness with us wherever we go. It's charging our battery. So similarly, you know, in the case of Jarabharat, he was totally Krishna conscious. Not, it's mentioned here, he decided that. Nothing going to disturb me. He acting like a dumb. But he was waiting for a chance to preach. He was jumping around and acting like a mad. But then when he starts to speak, King Rahugana, wow, he is not the one I'm thinking of. He's a great devotee. He fell at his feet for instruction. I remember 1978. I was in Bihar. I was getting trained up to distribute books and preaching. But I did something very bad, I won't tell you. So they threw me off the bus party. And they said, go back to Mayapur. I'll tell you later. So I caught a train from Patna. And the 1978, there was a big flood in Bengal. So I had to get off. Everybody had to get off. And they were giving money back, refund. Because the train line, there's water on train line, you can't go anymore. We had to take a bus. So everybody had to sign. And they were all poking at me. 1978, the Hare Krishna in India was not, they didn't look us, looked at in a negative way. They say, you guys are CIA, you're not Hare Krishna, and all this. So they were really looking down on me. And I was small, and I didn't know, I couldn't say anything. I was just keeping quiet. So then everybody had to sign to get the money. So they're all Bengali, they were signing in Bengali. So that was my turn to sign. And I learned English like really quick. And then all the people around me, how I'm going to sign. And I signed in English, you know. They, wow, you know. Everybody changed their mood. They were, oh, Hare Krishna, Kesa, hey, how are you? And they were nice to me. So it depends sometime how are you, your education level. So, you know, in the case of Jaravarat, you don't know. He didn't want to show what he is. He's not exhibiting. But neophyte people, sometime, they want to see what you are. They say, show me. If there's God, show me. Isn't it? Why Krishna showed the universal form? Because many people want proof that he is God. And of course, some still didn't believe this is just a miracle. But he is God. He danced on the Kaliya serpent. You know, a serpent, a cobra bites you, you have to go to the doctor. And Krishna was dancing on this, and a hood of a Kaliya serpent, most poisonous snakes. And he was okay. He was in ecstasy. And he lived to Govardhan Hill. So many pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna had to, these things he did, Leela, pastimes, to attract his devotees. At the same time, those who are atheists, to show them that he's God. So pure devotees, like Jesus also, he did the miracle. Because people were so dumb. He had to show the miracle. So Prabhupada, he also had the miracle. Many of his God brothers, they went to tried to do what Prabhupada did. They said, impossible. They came back halfway. Prabhupada didn't come back. Prabhupada took the challenge because his love for Prabhupada, his Guru Maharaj, his love for Krishna, so intense, never give up. That's the, Krishna says, dhiravrata. That's their determination, their vows. Bhishma Dev, you know, he took a vow that he will remain brahmachari for life. You know, when he took the vow, at that time, the flowers fell on him from the sky because he was so powerful, so potent, full of shakti. If we take vow, you know, no flower fell on us because we don't have that potency. We just say it. But maybe we'll fall later, who knows? The demigods, they know us. But it's not like we can be discouraged. We should be strong like Bhishma Dev. We should be strong like Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he said, his miracle was he converted mlechas into Vaishnavas. That's something that's impossible to do. Turning into a stone-hearted person into gem. Taking stone, turning into a gem. That's what he did. Prabhupada. Make them Vaishnavas. So this Jarabharat, also through his own example, he made Rahugana a great devotee, a king. So devotees are always thinking, trying to find an opportunity where we can preach Krishna consciousness. So he creates purposely some system where he can get a chance to preach. Even me, I like to go to a temple where they give me a chance to preach. Otherwise, I don't go there. Why do I go to Taiwan and Hong Kong and China and Philippines? Because they give me so much chance to preach. Of course, nowadays I get chance all the time wherever I go. But I don't want people to not give me a chance to preach. I love preaching. I love Harinam. Last year, a couple of years ago, I went to Sydney and they advertised. I mean, I can't even imagine myself like many years ago as a kid. They advertised like sannyasis. And they called, now, what's your requirement? What do you eat? I said, I eat all Visharam, like Vanamaraj. Stuff like that. And who am I? So I'm thinking, I take great pleasure. Like now I'm talking, I love it. Love to preach Krishna consciousness. Love to go on Harinam. So what gives a devotee pleasure when we talk about Krishna, Krishna Katha? You can, like I was saying, those people in the bar, they're talking nonsense. They're just getting a sore throat. And at the end, they're going to get a headache from drinking that stuff. So devotees, they're sober. I see Parabrahma, he's very sober, right? You are sober. He's always doing service, not talking so much. Observe in devotional service. All of the ashram here, they're very good devotees. They're all very observing, serving Krishna in different way. Some are resting because they work so hard, they need to rest. And then they're up doing services. This jatra here, you are showing a really good example to our temples in Australia. I don't praise to people unless they are qualified. So I'm praising you because you deserve it. Srila Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada was very pushy. He was very pushy. And Guru Maharaj told the story. Prabhupada was in Perth. And he, wherever he goes, he needs to talk to people. He needs to preach. And there's nobody around to preach. So he said, bring me someone. I want to talk. I want to preach. So Prabhupada was going up and down the room, very impatient. And so they brought one guy, long hair, like a hippie. So Prabhupada spoke to him for 2 hours. And the guy didn't say anything. And he walked away after, and Prabhupada said he was haunted. He didn't speak. But Prabhupada wanted to talk to anybody. So we have to keep ourselves very active. Nonetheless, he got the mercy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada still preached. So what gives a devotee pleasure is chanting Hare Krishna. Even we eating, it's not a big thing. You eat big plate of food and I wish I didn't eat. Before you ate, you feel really fine, very light and relaxed. After you eat, God, I don't feel good. Then thinking, I wish I didn't eat. I wish I ate less. Isn't it? Some feeling comes like that. But when you chant Hare Krishna, dance in ecstasy, and read Bhagavatam, associate devotees, it's such a good feeling. You never feel down by doing these things because it uplifts us. It only gives transcendental pleasure. That's the character, spiritual happiness, the chanting Hare Krishna, is that it gives immediate happiness, forever, eternal happiness. Some of us are chanting for years. But every time I sit down to chant, I feel ecstatic. I feel fantastic. You get the microphone and you sing. It's such a good feeling. I'm not thinking I'm the leader. I feel I'm leading for Krishna, for Prabhupada. I feel joyful, actually. In Vrindavan, and when I lived in Vrindavan Gurukul, Mayapur I wasn't allowed. I was young, and Vrindavan Gurukul, I really like it because it was full of foreigners. I like foreign devotees those days. Mayapur was full of Bengalis, and they were like very, very passionate. And there's no respect. There was a lot of issues those days. Now things change. And when I went to Vrindavan, all Americans, Europeans, and they're very nice, and they And so I was like very enthusiastic, so I appreciate that. So, you know, sometimes we need encouragement. So I had a group of us. So I had my own Medanga player, Kathala, a group of us. So we went down, and there's already somebody there ready to sing. And they grabbed the microphone. I'm singing. Like this. And they're also aware of that, that this guy is coming. You better. So they, before they sing, I'm there on time. So my point is, sometimes there's some challenges. We have to be pushy. But of course, we're not thinking, I'm the doer, I'm this. We should be doing things free from ego. It's mentioned here, I'm not this body. I'm doing for Krishna. This is a very difficult platform. It's a very thin line. Even as devotees, it's the ABC in spiritual life, the thing, I'm not this body. But this is the hardest thing to get over with it. Isn't it? We always on that material bodily platform, usually. We identify ourselves with this body. There's very little that we are on the transcendental platform. One devotee said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, sometime I'm in Maya. And sometime, and Prabhupada said, and sometime I remember Krishna. Sometime in Maya." He said, "Sometime in Maya." Prabhupada said, "You're always in Maya. Sometime you remember Krishna." You know what I mean? But Krishna's devotees are always thinking of Krishna, pure devotees. But pure devotees, they never say, "Oh, I have found Krishna. I am with Krishna. I have a dream of Krishna." They don't say, even though they are feeling that, but they don't say it because they have humility. "Hey, Braja Devakrishna Lalite, Nanda Kuta Kutaha. Hey, where under the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, where are you, Krishna? Are you under the hill? Are you under this tree? Where are you?" He's always in the search for Krishna, looking for Krishna. He didn't say, "I have found Krishna." This is our attitude. We are Rupa Nugas. Our attitude is to follow, followers of the Goswamis. We can't even follow, but at least we can say we are followers. Isn't it? Goswamis, when you talk about Goswamis, it's unbelievable what they did. You see the pictures here up there, six Goswamis. They're so skinny. They are so rich. They have so much wealth, the Goswamis. They come from the wealthy family in the universe. It's mentioned, some of the Goswamis, they are as equal wealth as Indra. And Raghunath Das Goswami, his wife was Apsara, so beautiful. He could not stand her. They had to tie him in the rope. And he still ran away to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So attracted to Krishna, so to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, that's the standard. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living in Radhakund and eating nothing. He used to eat in our kitchen here. When he washed, all the rice and things goes to the drain. Jagannath Puri, they had the rice and stuff would go down the drain. He used to collect that and eat that as a daily food. And then he collected all this and he was going to eat. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his hut. He says, "Where is that prasadam you have? That was all the rice that," he said, "is not fit for you." And he was chanting all day, day and night. That's his ecstasy. Yeah. And here, I'm not criticizing, because we should take prasadam, we should be happy. But you need to check ourselves. Are we actually becoming attracted to Krishna or just eating? I slept upstairs and I didn't go to sleep till 10:30 because I had to call somebody in India and some other places. And then I was deep sleep and he came knocking on the door. "Hey, bro," 3:30. You know, Ganga, "Hurry, get up." Just like the old days. I wasn't thinking, "Oh, this guy, you know." I wasn't happy. I said, "Fantastic, thank you for waking me up. So now I should be getting up and go to the Mangalarati." I felt ecstatic. You know, nobody's coming where I live, knocking on my door, time to get up. So I really appreciate someone wakes me up to go to the program. Isn't it? Devotees are gurus. Devotees are a real friend. They're showing us the path. Radharani, she's next to Krishna, like this. His blessing. Ashirvad. Everybody here, say, give me Ashirvad. She's blessing. You want Ashirvad? You have to do service to Krishna. It's not for free. Donate money. Yeah. Buy books. Do devotional service. Then Radharani will please. Not just a lip service. Ah, Ashirvad. Touch your feet and go away, do whatever you want. Ashirvad means you have to qualify yourself. This is the idea in India. They say, they see a sadhu, they jump on his feet for mercy. It's not the way. You have to get that blessing. Yeah. So there's so many things. So this is the very nice example of Jara Bharat, a very nice example, you know, stories. Bhagavatam it has stories and philosophy. So they're interconnected. The Mahabharata is all stories. Ramayana, all stories. But Bhagavatam is all philosophy. Nectar, amrita, you know. The cream of the philosophy is the, and the stories, these stories illustrate that philosophy. It's interrelated. So it's not just stories. There's in India, there's some stories. No, this is so philosophy. The highest class of people, they read the Bhagavatam. Highest class of people, Brahmanas, they're studying Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita scriptures and talking about Krishna because there's so much philosophy. Any questions? It's a... Bhanu Maharaj was talking the other day about the different symptoms of prema. In my view, okay, it's not Shastra, my view, I reckon, prema starts right in the beginning. And Prabhupada explains in a Nectar Devotion that when one performs devotional service, the beginning step, the first person, first time, he'll feel the symptom of prema. It's not him, it's the process of devotional service. And of course, you'll be led to devotional service gradually. But it's not that we have to wait till that come. One can experience it straight away. And I felt that. When I first joined Hare Krishna, I was the age of 6. And I loved chanting. That's why I got initiated. I sat in the front of the deity and I started chanting. I felt fantastic. So this Krishna prem is not that you have to wait for. It can come straight away in the beginning. Yes. Yeah. Ganga Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class and inspiration. I was thinking that this morning I was thinking Krishna consciousness is like electric wire from the plug. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you touch, you get a shock.
Exactly.
So... you know, and you know, he doesn't consider, oh, this is a small child or this is an old man. But if you take the live wire from the electricity, you know, then he give you electricity. So Krishna consciousness is the same from wherever. It's like a big cake from wherever you approach it. It's so sweet and nice, and it's susukam kartum avyayam. It's very jolly performed, and even if we perform in unknowingly, we get a great benefit. So it's so beautiful, so wonderful. Thank you for the wonderful class.
It's just like when we make gulab jamun, you know, everyone is very familiar, gulab jamun. Somebody who knows how to make it, very round, perfect shape. And they also make long ones even. But the real ones are the round shape. I used to sell diamond before. They have round shape, star shape, opal shape, pear shape, different shape. But the original one is round shape. So it should be perfect. So Krishna consciousness is perfect. Wherever you bite, it's all same feelings. Yeah. But the problem is, we're not biting. We are looking at it. We're appreciating is good, but then Prabhupada always gave the example of a honey. Unless you actually open the jar and get a taste of it, what is it like? We're never going to actually experience it. We're just on the surface. Yeah. So, you know, Jara Bharat, we are all on that level. You know, we are practicing. And then Krishna's giving us the symptom, ecstasy. And this is why I see the devotees going Harinam. And these guys, they can go every day. And there's this one boy named Harinamananda. Like, he's like fanatic. He can go Harinam every day. And nobody goes, he goes himself. I said, how he can do it? He must have some taste. And we, every time we go on Harinam, whoever amount of devotees that go out, we can't stop laughing and talking at the end. You know, so ecstasy. They can't even sleep that night. They're excited from the chanting. You know, so this is the symptom of chanting of Hare Krishna, of doing devotional service, that it gives immediate bliss. It's not they have to look for it, it's there. Jara Bharata was feeling it. He was in excellent position to acting that way, because he was waiting. You know, I'm going to preach, you know. That feeling is so ecstatic. The devotees are all, we have this. We get. If you have a desire to preach, if you have desire to chant Hare Krishna, associate, Krishna will give you an opportunity, isn't it? Any questions? Prabhuji, kuch hai, batao. You're always the photographer.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu, because it's coming from your heart and your own experience, and that's valuable for us because you had interaction with senior devotees of ISKCON. And you were talking about attachment and not... You are talking about attachment and overly... one can be attached, but one should not be overly attached. That's a statement you made. I was wondering whether, is it attachment or affection? Because I can be affection, I can show affection or I can have affection, but I need not have attachment. I can show affection without attachment. The moment I become attached, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, the affection means is connected to love. Love. And if you define love, you know, what is love? Love is actually meant for Bhagavan, for Guru, for Krishna. So people, they misunderstand love. So affection is very soft. You feel a very sympathetic to something. But that comes in that loving exchange. But attachment, even as love, so there's a definition of attachment is that something that you like for yourself, selfish. You can become attached to something that can be harmful to you, even harmful, in our case, when it comes to devotional service. So when you attach to something which is spiritual, we all know, Where is to draw the line that attached to Krishna? So if it's something else material, we know ourselves. If we are devotionally inclined and we are devotees, we know this attachment is too much. You know, if you like this person in a material way, then it becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a disturbance to devotional service. So you have to define, you have to see where to draw the line, that you are attached to Krishna or attached to something material. So affection is different from attachment. It's interrelated, but affection is love. You are showing your sympathy, your affection, your love, and you're soft-hearted towards that. It can be, say something nice to someone, a sweet word, Oh, thank you, Prabhu. You say something nice. It's just nice to say a nice thing to each other, to make them feel good. But it's not fake. But you know when to not to say too much. Oh, you know, like, it can become material, especially anyone to anyone. So you can, don't overdo it. But when you talk about attachment, that's what attachment is. But when you say love, that you don't tell, you don't loosely use this word. Use this for Guru, for Krishna, Prabhupada. Love you, Krishna. And it's not, we don't materialize it with each other, because it can become materialized when you make these distinctions. So when you, there are, we choose the word, we choose our behavior, we choose everything that is appropriate, devotional words, Krishna conscious words, through our attitude. Sometimes we don't have to say anything, just a quick smile, Hare Krishna, that's all. There's no need, on and on. This Vedic system, Hare Krishna, you know, they're doing handshake, even they're doing this now. They understand this is the original system. Some countries like Singapore, they do this because coming from Vedas. But someone who is very near to you, dear to you, you can hug. And to, so there is a system for respect, accordingly, respect is mentioned. So when you say attachment, you have to understand what is the level of attachment and to who, to what. So you can be attached, but you are allowed to be attached to Guru and Krishna in a spiritual way. But when you say love, your love is so intense, you're cooking for Guru Maharaj, you're cooking for Krishna. So you do with feeling, so your consciousness goes in the food. People who eat, this is very subtle. They can feel the taste of the food because of the consciousness. So it's a very subtle matter when you talk about love. So you don't loosely use this word to anyone. I love you. So the boys, girls, they say if they love each other, they use this word. But they don't say it to everybody because it's very intimate. So intimate words we use for Bhagwan, for Krishna. Sometimes you don't tell to everybody. Maybe you talk to Krishna. Something that you don't want, you don't trust others, you don't want to reveal. That you talk to someone who you trust. Those intimate words. So attachment is attachment to Krishna, but not material things, material attachment. We always say material attachment. Even if you have a desire to eat one gulab jamun, but you like it so much, more than Krishna, then you cannot go back to Godhead. That's an attachment. That's a stumbling block. Even that's offered to Krishna. After 50 years of devotee, you still like to attach to eat a gulab jamun. Then what does that mean? But when your Guru Maharaj gives a sweet, he tells you, eat up to here, eat. If he says, don't eat, don't eat. You can go hungry. That attachment is to Guru. You do, so you're attached to his instruction, not attached to what you like. So this is a subtle thing. If Guru Maharaj says, eat up to your neck, chant Hare Krishna, enjoy, he would do that as an instruction. But when he says, do this, austerity, then you can enjoy that too. So your attachment is to Krishna, to Prabhupada, to Guru, like that. There's one of the gurus, he used to offer cut eggplants, and offer to his deity. I mean, we all know eggplant, you need to cook. Aubergine, you have to cook it, fry it. You can't eat raw. But he didn't have facility, he had so much love for Krishna. So he used to cut the eggplant, offer to his deity in a cup. It was made out of the coconut shell, you know. And he didn't just give it away. He ate it afterward as prasadam. We always go in the kitchen and look for the best thing. You know, we shuffling. This, I want this, I don't want that. This is because you're thinking this tastes better. So we are attached not to Krishna. Some places they mix everything, so we don't become attached. You know, they were talking about, they beg all day, they mix all the, so they eat sweets, everything. But we are, Prabhupada's mercy, we have You know we have halwa, puri, so many things. We are allowed to. But my point is that we don't become too attached to eating and sleeping. Then our temple becomes a hotel. Just a place for eating and sleeping. Nobody wanted to service. Every time there's Mahaprasada, we're coming with our bowls and containers. And at the time to service, nobody around. So we have to understand why we're here. That's why I was saying before. Why our real reason is actually to serve Krishna. Even if we have our own family. We also have Krishna's family, Prabhupada's family. We're all friends and families. This is a universal family. It's Krishna's family, Prabhupada's family. This is even bigger family. So we can be attached in that way. So understand things more clearly in this way. Take it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.